Thank you, girls. Making sure it's on. That's a beautiful psalm of thanksgiving, creation-wide thanksgiving for the Lord's judgment, his coming judgment, and judging all of us in equity. Pray with me as we go to the Lord's word tonight. Father, what shall we render to you for all the benefits that you give us? We thank you. We thank you for your word, for our time in your word right now. We thank you for this time to gather together to give you thanks. I pray for you to bless us and guide us this evening as we continue to give thanks to you. Guide us through your word. Guide me as I speak. Guide our hearts through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if there is a year where being thankful is not a popular sentiment, I think this is the one, right? I've heard time and again in the last few weeks, I can't wait till 2020 is over, till I can kiss it goodbye. Who else has heard that? Okay, I think maybe I've said it too. And now it's the night before Thanksgiving, and here we are. We all know that this year has been very challenging, but that's what makes nights like tonight so powerful. This is because gratitude to our Lord is immensely powerful, especially among the people of God, and especially right now. We need to give thanks. While giving thanks is an action, it flows out of our hearts. It flows out of a heart disposition. It says, I had a need, even one that I didn't necessarily know I had or want to admit that I had, but I had a need and you met it. And for that, I'm humbly grateful. Instead of saying, give me what I deserve, it says, I'm thankful for you meeting a need that I have. In saying this, I'm arguing that being grateful requires a giver. We've already read about this in the Psalms. That giver is not, it's not general or ambiguous or anonymous. The giver is our faithful God who gives us all we have and continually cares for us in every situation that he has brought about. He's caring for us all right now. He's cared for us all this year. A biblical picture of gratitude is directly linked with God's personal action with his people. In seminary, we spoke about indicative and imperative. So God's mighty action, his gracious action, the indicative of God's mighty and gracious action leads to the imperative of our faithful response as God's covenant people. So gratefulness to God for his works drives our joyful obedience and faithfulness to him. And this is everywhere in Deuteronomy, as in the passage that we're reading tonight, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 10 through 25. As Moses is calling the Israelites throughout this whole book, it's his second giving of the law right before he dies and they enter the promised land. He's calling them to exclusive love and loyalty as his people. Exclusive love and loyalty to the Lord. I chose our passage for tonight, which is in Deuteronomy 6. You may think of the Shema, the greatest commandment. But I chose it because it expounds two key aspects of our call as God's people. And these things fuel our gratitude, our love, and our devotion to the Lord. So I was thinking about how are we grateful, and what does gratitude do in our lives? And this passage touches on that. But part of why our passage is in God's word, I believe, is that the Lord and Moses knew the Israelites, and the Lord knew us. The Israelites were human, and they were prone away from gratitude. They're prone to forget the Lord's works, to forget his faithful provision for them. So are we. There are many reasons for this. We can take pride in what we do and what we have done, or we can be dissatisfied with our current circumstances. I know this is one that I'm tempted towards, especially in the last couple weeks. I've been very tempted towards this, towards being dissatisfied and complaining to God. It can also look like worrying about the future. Forgetting God's provision and not being grateful leads to worrying about the future. We're all prone to forget God's goodness and his faithfulness, and I hope tonight to lead us through this time as we come to give thanks to the Lord and speak of his goodness, to just lead us and help us to slow down and give thanks to God. That's all I hope to do, is just to help us to slow down and give thanks to him, because we live hurried lives, and we need to give thanks to him, and it's a joy to do that. Let me read our passage as we dive into it. This is Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 25. If you have a Bible, feel free to turn there, or I'll just read it for you. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, and that you may go in and take possession of the good land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers, by thrusting out all your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. When your son asks you in a time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and grievous, against Egypt and against Pharaoh and all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from there, and that he might bring us in and give us the land that he swore to give to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as we are this day. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to do all this commandment before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. So there are many things to take from this passage, and I certainly won't have time to get into all of them tonight. But I do want to bring out two key aspects, as I said, two key aspects of our calling. And these are aspects that flow out of God's gracious character, out of the Lord being the giver, out of God faithfully giving us all that we have. I'll say it this way: because the Lord gives us all that we have, we are to remember his works, and we're to pass on the story. Remember his works and pass on his story. Through both of these things, he cultivates gratitude in our hearts and leads us in serving him. These are really important things. That's why Moses continually reiterates them throughout Deuteronomy. So the first part, remembering his works. Look at verses 10 and 11. They emphasize that the Lord our God is the giver. He's faithful to his promise to give them the land that he swore to their fathers. He will bring his people into the land that he swore to them. The Lord also gives them everything that they have in the land. Verse 11 lists this out: cities that you did not build, homes that you did not build, cisterns that you didn't dig, vineyards that you didn't plant. All they have, will come from the Lord, because he has given it. They didn't make any of it, and he gave it to them by his grace. Imagine entering into a city and a region that are habitable and actually something that's desirable, very desirable, and having them empty and being like, I guess this is for us. Now, it wasn't empty for the Israelites. They had to drive people out through the Lord's guidance. But that's what the Lord is promising them, this fruitful land for them to be a blessing to the nations. It's almost unthinkable, but the Lord is providing an abundance for his people in order to bless them, to bless the nations, and to bring his name glory. In verse 12, Moses says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord." It could say here, "Keep or watch yourselves so that you don't forget the Lord." All of this abundance cannot lead to forgetting the Lord. He has delivered them to serve him and fear him above all else as his beloved people. Verse 17 says that they do this through keeping his commandments. There shall be no running after other gods, because the Lord, the one true God, has worked mightily to save his people. He's jealous for them, and he longs for their exclusive loyalty. Verse 16 reminds us that remembering the Lord isn't human nature. It's not our nature. Moses calls to mind the waters of Massah back in Exodus 17, where instead of singing jubilant songs of praise like they did just two chapters before, right after he brought them across the Red Sea, the Israelites test God. They quarrel with Moses and they complain against the Lord. They actually tried to stone Moses in this. And Moses calls this to mind again and says, don't do that. Don't complain about what the Lord is doing. We are all prone to quickly move on from a place of gratitude, but remembering the Lord and his works, remembering the Lord and his works leads to our faithful keeping of his commandments. Remembering the Lord, it's easier said than done, but it's very important. In verse 17, he says, diligently keep the commandments, which is actually the same word as in verse 12. Diligently keep. It's a strong construction. You could say, keeping you shall keep. Keeping you shall keep the commandments of the Lord. So they're supposed to keep themselves from forgetting and also keep the commandments of the Lord. Underneath this is a trust that the Lord will work this out for the blessing of his people and his glory. So they're keeping the commandments because God delivered them from slavery mightily with an outstretched arm, as he promised. God saves his people so that it may go well with them, so that they will be a blessing to the nations, as I've said. He promises back to Abraham back in Genesis 12. And he's doing this to enact his redemptive work. This ultimately leads to Jesus. And that is where we come in. That's where we come in. Because in Christ, this is our story too. God has brought us into this story. God gives us life. He gives us breath and everything. God has worked mightily and graciously to call us his own treasured possession. He did that with Abraham, with the Israelites, and now he's doing it. He has done it with us. Here's Ephesians 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ Jesus with, hear this, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. It's hard to ponder that enough, but it's important. And it's a blessing to ponder that. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He's given us life and breath and everything. I know it feels inconvenient to stop and slow down and say, thank you, Lord. Tonight feels like a blessing, actually. And I hope we all are here because of that. I hope people are tuning in on the live stream because of that. Because giving thanks to God is a blessing. Praising Him, remembering His works is a blessing. I know I am very prone, oddly enough, especially when things go well, to not stop and say thank you to the Lord. And yet, that's exactly when He wants us to say thank you. He wants us to say thank you in everything, in all circumstances. Even in trials, we're supposed to count it as all joy because He cares for us. He tenderly directs all our steps, and He has saved us mightily through Christ's death and resurrection, once and for all. He calls us His own. This is why nights like tonight and weekly worship are so important as we call to mind His mighty and gracious works. I'll just say one, God has protected us in the last 5-6 months from a major outbreak of COVID. That's God's work. Sure, we have all of these other things that we're doing to prevent the spread of this virus, but we need to thank God and praise Him that He has protected us from a serious outbreak here. Second, like the Israelites, God calls us to faithfully walk in His good ways and to humbly trust Him with everything else. He is working this out for His glory, and He will do it to completion. I know that this year and maybe even the past week have tested us in ways that we couldn't have foreseen 10 months ago. But Paul tells us that we have stories like Exodus, like the waters of Massah, for an example. It's easy to complain about our circumstances, but complaining isn't the only option. We can cry out in weakness and dependence and ask God to give us strength and patience, and we can thank Him for what we have. We can cast all of our cares on Him and humble ourselves under His mighty and sovereign hand. We can trust that He's sanctifying us through this and that He will ultimately bring us into glory one day. So that's the first point, remembering God's works. Remembering God's works. And since God works everything for our good and for His glory, we are to continually to remember His works. The second point is we're to pass on the story, and this is shorter, but it's arguably more important. I'm not sure which is more important. They're both important. But we're to pass on the story. In verses 20 through 23, Moses anticipates and answers a question from the future kids, or the actual kids, of the Israelites. The kids will, in the future, ask, "What is the meaning of all these rules?" That's my paraphrase. And I'm looking for all the kids in the room right now, just because I can't help it. But what's the meaning of all these rules? I don't think that's just a question that kids ask. We all ask that question. And Moses' answer and instruction go back to the story once again. He just tells the story again. He says, "The Lord saved us from slavery in Egypt through miraculous works so that we would go into this land, so that we would be His people and follow Him in faithfulness." So this answer here is telling. The people here are to interpret their present circumstances in light of the mighty work of God in the past. They're to interpret their present circumstances and future circumstances in light of God's work in the past. The Exodus, the mighty work of God, is how this and future generations are to both see the world and live within it and inhabit it. They're to see the world in light of this, in that they are God's people. Exodus 19 says, "They are His treasured possession. They're His kingdom of priests. They're His holy nation." In Christ, that's you and me as well. They are to inhabit the land in that they are to obey His command to do His statutes and fear Him, to live in light of who He is and His love and goodness and righteousness and justice. These statutes are not to hinder them. They're actually to set them up for life how it was intended to be. Therefore, they're good for their preservation, for their righteousness, always. Faithful obedience to God's statutes is the only right response to this story. That's what it says. It will be righteousness for them if they do these. That it's faithful obedience. It's just the only right response. We live in a world and a moment of history that says the next generation is given a blank canvas that they can paint however they want. It's up to them. Moses' words show us something very different here. As God's people, his story is how we are to see and inhabit the world. We're to pass it on with joy and gladness and positively commend the next generation to live in faithfulness to his good statutes, as this brings God the glory that only he deserves, and as it's for our good. I know that many people here tonight already are devoted to this with all of who they are, who you are. I know that that's where many of you are already. But we're all faltering sheep, and we need continual encouragement in this. That's part of why I chose this text in this moment. Well, where does all this begin? Where does in passing on the story to the next generation begin? It begins with soaking in God's love and grace to us. His stubborn and faltering people, his stubborn and faltering sheep. How his steadfast love for us led to Jesus dying for us, to Jesus becoming poor for us so that we might become rich, him giving himself up for us. There's nothing else in the world that we have to be more grateful for than the fact that we are called God's children. Think about that this whole weekend. We're God's children in Christ. He became poor for us. We have an imperishable inheritance in him. So for parents and adults, we're ambassadors of this story. Deuteronomy 6, we should be taking that literally. We're supposed to love God with all of who we are and teach it to our children. Ask him prayerfully how we are to do this with patience and love. The pertinent part of this for tonight involves the joy of interpreting our present circumstances, blessings, challenges, and all, to the coming generation in this covenant community here, in light of God's sovereign work and his tender, loving care. He's caring for us one day at a time here. For children and youth here tonight, I just want to say a couple things. God loves you dearly. He does. You are part of this story. He calls you to love him with all of who you are. Love him with all of who you are. And let me tell you, as someone who grew up in the church, this is for your good always. Following God, following his ways, faithfully, diligently keeping yourself in these ways by his grace with his help. Listen tonight in all that you hear. Listen to your parents, but listen tonight in all that you hear from brothers and sisters in Jesus. And also, don't be afraid to speak about the blessings that God has given you, because your voice is powerful. It's powerful. Continue to give thanks every day. That's what I have to say to you all. It's a blessing. God is good to us, and he longs to bless you. He loves you. Brothers and sisters, I hope I've said this enough in many different ways, but gratitude to God is powerful, and it's well worth our time. We need it and are redeemed by God for it, to offer him ourselves as living sacrifices of praise. And praise God that even when we falter and complain, He is gracious and merciful and keeps steadfast love to thousands. He forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Us being here tonight or watching on the live stream is a testament to this. He is gracious, and he calls us to himself to follow him. So let's spend some time tonight remembering his deeds and passing on the story to each other. His story, how he's working it out in the here and now. If you're at home, I encourage you to do this with whoever you are with, or to write something down or call someone and tell them of God's mighty deeds. Praise God for these things. Give thanks to him tonight at home. And don't let tonight stop you. Do it every day. Let me pray, and then we'll spend some time giving thanks. Father, we thank you that you give us every good and perfect gift. We thank you that you gave us your Son, Jesus, when we needed him so much. We humbly praise you that you call us your beloved children. Help us to give thanks to you in all circumstances. Lord, this is what you want. This is your will for us. Lead us in this tonight and encourage us all through your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.